Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy. And guess what? It is Friday, TGIF. Happy Friday to everyone who's tuning into the show. One of the things I like to tell people is on Fridays, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say, probably because I've been working all week getting ready for the New Year, New You two-day teleconference that's coming up December 29th and 30th. And when I don't have a lot of sleep, only the good Lord knows what's about to happen and what I'm about to say. Now, I am going to go ahead and introduce today's guest. But before I do that, I'm going to ask you to do what I ask you to do every day, Monday through Friday, for the last 6 months. I can't even believe it's been 6 months. But yes, I'm going to ask you to go out and be an evangelist for the show. Go out and let your friends know that we are live. The Roundtable Talk Show is live. So text someone, tweet someone, inbox someone. Hey, if you're an author, write a book about it. I don't care what you do. Send that smoke signal out, but let people know the Roundtable Talk Show is live. And while you're sharing the show, I'm going to do what you tune in to see me do. And that is to go ahead and introduce our very first guest. Now, I'm pretty sure you will recognize her name, her face, her spirit, her energy, because she's been on Ask Sharifa videocast and podcast. She has been on Face to Face Talk Show. We've seen her almost every other Friday on the Roundtable Talk Show. And she is a dear personal friend of mine who always just brings the sunlight to the show. Miss Jade Elizabeth, who's an amazing woman with many gifts. She's a mentor, she's a coach, hypnotherapist. She has helped over 5,000 women transform their lives. Good morning, Jade. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Sharifa. Thank you for having me. And I'm so excited. What a great group of people we have today. So I'm excited for the conversation. You know, today, one of the things I want people to start thinking about is love. You know, there's so much chaos. There's so much on in our world that if we even start to love and inspire who we are, that is going to spread out to the world. That's one of the reasons I wrote my book, which we didn't mention, but that's okay. Your amazing itty bitty self-esteem book, 15 steps to gain and keep high self-worth. You know, I wrote this book because it was very, very difficult for me to love who I was and to accept who I was. And right now, people being at home, people being stuck there and not knowing what's going to happen from day to day or being out of work, it's really hard to love what's going on inside of you. And all of this fear comes out. So today, I really would like to stress that people start thinking about self-love and how you speak to you. You know, talk to yourself like you would a friend.
And what would you say to that friend, Jade?
What would I say to her? You know, you're not hard on us as a friend. You're here to support us no matter what we do. So isn't it time now for you to actually be there and support yourself?
Mm-hmm. I think that's very powerful. One of the things you often talk about on the show is gratitude. So yeah. I like the focus today, but let's talk about gratitude and how important that is in your message.
Well, you know, to me, love and gratitude are very close. Mm-hmm. If at any time you're feeling down, or you're not sure where the next step is, or you're feeling lonely, if you actually sit and look around your home or look around your surroundings, wherever that may be, and just start to pick out little things that you can be thankful for and feel that gratitude, it instantly changes the energy and the vibration that you're in. And that's everything. You know, there are certain laws that our universe is in, and one of them is the law of vibration. If we want something, if we want to shift and change something, we have to make our energy match that vibration that we're looking for. And love and gratitude, to me, is the biggest and number one way to do that.
Yes, love, gratitude is definitely important. I'm going to come back to you, Jade. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And I was interested in speaking with him because I think he shows his love in a way that a lot of people can relate to. He's an author, a filmmaker, and his world is a world where monsters truly exist. I want to introduce Mr. David Corey. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm great, Sharifa. How are you doing?
I'm excited to have you here. So,
good to be here.
Jay was talking a little bit about how people are feeling and where we are in the world today. You're one of those people as a filmmaker who says, you know what? I want to create a world. I'm going to create a world that many people may not have the opportunity to see. How did this become your passion?
You know, escapism has always been a word that I really enjoy. It's been a word that I've enjoyed since probably junior high school. I was picked on a lot back in junior high school and didn't really kind of come into my own, I guess you could say, until I guess my sophomore year of high school. And starting at about the age of 12, I started writing stories, short stories, stories basically that would take me somewhere else, take me away from what I was dealing with on a day-to-day basis, something that allows me to go somewhere where maybe I can be a hero or, you know, silly stuff like that, you know, stuff that'll just allows you to be happy, allows you to find your center, allows you to find your chi, your peace. And that's what writing is all about for me. My books, any scripts that I create, any story, it's about escaping to another place.
So let's talk about your books. I looked at a couple of your books. You have one new one that's out.
Yes. And that would be Illyria.
Illyria.
Yes. And this one is a absolute fantasy. This one is wild. It's about as crazy it can get, as I would say. Vampires, monsters, angels, demons, giants, vampire hunters, you name it. They are all in this book.
Okay. Wow. So how do you sleep at night?
Oh, I copy.
How do you sleep at night is my question.
I sleep great. You know, I would have to say that I probably owe a lot of what I have written to people like Stephen King, Clive Barker, the horror writers. You know, these are the people that I love. They are about as creative as one can get. And being able to put the fear of God into someone is a fun thing to do. Horror movies are about one of the greatest things in the world. Sci-fi, you name it, I will watch it. I welcome a scare anytime, any place, anywhere. I love it. It lets you know you're alive. It lets you know you're alive. I think in order to be able to do something like this, you have to be creative. And I think you had to have been picked on as a kid. I think in order to have that kind of energetic imagination, I think, you know, you have to have a very colorful background. Mm-hmm. And I think I have an extremely colorful background and have a lot to say. A lot.
We're going to see what else you have to say, David, but I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And she heard everything you had to say, and she is just waiting because she's a filmmaker as well. So I was like, I don't know how these shows just kind of wind up happening, but they wind up happening. It's not me. It's just the universe. It's just God makes it happen. Oh, Brogan Jasmine is the founder of Elemental Women Productions. She is the artistic director as well. She has a theater and film background, and she has created a community of women artists that focus on producing and developing women's work. Good morning, Brogan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm excited. I had a whole list of questions ready for you. And then David started talking, and I'm like, okay, what did you think about what David had to say?
I agree. I think that there is a certain creative energy that you have to have for going into kind of producing or filmmaking or script writing or anything like that, because you are like transporting other people, your audience, to another world. And so you have to have that kind of thing in yourself where you know what clicks with you to be able to click with someone else in that. Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, like I grew up in the arts. I've always been like, I was an actor. I still am. And then, yeah, about, I guess, 2 years ago now, we're about to hit our second birthday. I kind of just got to the point where I was like, I'm tired of waiting. I want to do the stories that I wanted to see growing up, and I want to be a part of that change. The entertainment industry is the entertainment industry. And so part of that is that there's a large gender gap in regards to how women's stories are told, or if they're told at all. And so it was a big part to me that I was like, yeah, I want to do that. I want to be the subject of these stories versus the girlfriend or the best friend or whatever. And kind of have that, and sat down and really thought, like, who do I know that, like, who have I worked with that's a woman who's a director or a cinematographer or a sound engineer, or a gaffer or grip with lighting? And you start like realizing there's a small number of people that you know. And so, yeah, part of what I built was Elemental Women Productions. And we do theater and film, and we have a podcast sometimes that we're currently in the middle of developing our second season of. That's all about just kind of showing those stories and giving women's work a voice, and making sure that we're empowering those voices in whatever way so that the next generation of people have those stories.
Mm-hmm. I think that's powerful, but what I see is very powerful, and I only judge people sometimes on the show, and I tell people that, like, I'll judge someone to prove a point. And when I look at you, to me, I'm like, this lady can't be more than about 13 years old, 14 years old. Like, she, you know what I mean? Like, do you get that response? And maybe not that young, but people don't take you serious because they're like, oh, you're a little girl.
Yeah. I mean, I am 26. So I am.
Like, I'm grown.
Yes. I look very young. And that does, it's a good thing for acting. Like, not gonna lie. Like, it's a great thing for casting for myself for when I'm doing like that work. But yes, having like people take you seriously is sometimes a little harder. I found it very much more in regards to kind of the guys in the industry when I'm like rocking up to something and being like, hey, I'm a producer, I own my own company. They're like, oh, that's nice, like your small thing. And I'm like, yeah, it's small, but we're building and we're growing this amazing community and we're getting bigger and bigger every time. We have like these core values which make life a little harder, but I think make it way better for us. So like we make sure that at least 75% of all of our cast and crew are women. And we make sure that everyone who's leading those projects are those people. Because it's big to me. That's what I want. And also like, yeah, just being my age, yes, I have people take me like less seriously, but then I like to prove them wrong. Mm-hmm. So.
What is one of your projects you're most proud of?
The one we're most proud of was our first film, which was called A Series on Surviving, which we used like kind of an experimental approach. So we use poetry as like an inner monologue versus having people do dialogue. And the whole concept of the film was following the inner monologues of sexual assault survivors in their like everyday life after experiencing that event. To kind of talk about, we always focus on the event itself or the perpetrator and seeking justice, but not necessarily the ongoing thoughts of survivors of what is the like mental afterthoughts. So from actually choosing to disclose to panic attacks of being in places with people and how aware you then become outside of that. And so we produced that as a film and then put it in with a screening. And when we did our first screening, we paired it with a panel that was of survivors themselves to talk about a conversation in the stigmas facing survivors and also how everyone could support each other. And then we donated all the profits from that to RAIN, which is the National Helpline for Sexual Assault and Abuse, which was to this day is one of those, like, I did that and I was like, this is what I meant to do. This mm-hmm. is like fulfilled me. It gave me hope, and people who were there were like, I don't feel alone anymore. And that was a huge thing to me, to have people come up and be like, I don't feel alone. This is something that's so isolating, but so many people experience.
I think that's beautiful.
Bless you.
Yes, yes. Now I'm going to come back to you, Brogan. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. He is amazing. I did a little Googling on him, and some of his stories actually stand out. He's a multi-award-winning serial entrepreneur who writes for, I don't know if you've heard any of these names, but he writes for Forbes, Entrepreneur Magazine, The Huffington Post, and makes radio and speaking engagements around the world. Would love to introduce Mr. Simone Vincenzi. Good morning, Simone. How are you?
Good morning to you. I'm really well. I'm really well, and it's great to be here. I was listening to every other person here, and I can see the threads that of the conversation. Like when Jade was talking about gratitude, that reminded me about a conversation that I had with my wife a couple of days ago. You know, when you have one of these days, one of these days.
Yes.
And we looked at each other and we said, we got a roof over our head, we got food on the table, and no matter what, like, we are better off than probably like 90% of the global population. So
yes,
stop complaining.
Yes.
And then going into the conversations about creativity and creating outlets, that's how I started, why I started a business. Because for me, that's expression. I express myself through the creation of product services and marketing campaigns, and as well music, which is a passion that I have. And then moving on to the conversation of social impact and you know, creating a community around something which is isolating, like in this case, entrepreneurship is a very isolating journey and a very lonely journey. And being able to build a community of entrepreneurs around it. So I kind of like see sides of myself in every one of the conversation and said, yeah, I'm in the right place. I'm excited. I'm excited to be part of this panel in this interview.
I'm glad to have you, but it is really interesting to see it because Jay was talking about self-esteem and you know, we always share, Jay to share a little bit of her story more, but it's something that she suffered from. And then we hear David, who was bullied as a kid, you know what I mean? And then we got young Brogan over here who's like, you know what? I got to stand up for myself. You know, people are trying to hold me down. And then you're talking to your wife because you had one of those days and you look around and you go, you know what? Life is okay. We're here. You know,
we're
in the middle of a global
We're good.
Yes. You have each other. Like, that's the beautiful thing. So many people have lost people this year. I don't know what it is, but yes. So you are a serial entrepreneur. This is my question I always ask all the serial entrepreneurs. Were you like that kid who had like the lemonade stand or the mowing lawns? Like, was it in you all of your life to be an entrepreneur?
No. No, it wasn't. I wasn't that. But I was a troublemaker.
You're the troublemaker?
I was a troublemaker.
Make sense for me, Simone. Like, well, how does that equate?
Entrepreneurs are troublemakers in their own right. And I've been always very creative, and I always kept myself really busy. I was always involved in activities. This energy, I was going left, right, and center. I remember like my mom telling me that she couldn't turn around one moment that I was off. I was off and I was finding and losing myself in my own world. And my mom said as well, that I was a kid that when I was born, like I kept looking at myself and at the hands like this. It's like, what mischief can I make with those? So that has been my childhood pretty much.
Okay. I didn't know that. I'm gonna ask Jade about that. Jade, are entrepreneurs troublemakers?
Basically, yes, because even when I was a kid, the worst thing my parents did for me, because I was active, just like Simone, and they would sit me in a chair or sit me in a corner or sit me on my bed with nothing, and that's how I would get punished. And because of it, I always got into more trouble because I got bored. When you get bored, you have to do something. So, it was one of the reasons that I felt that I was bad. So it started some of the reasons why I had bad self-esteem.
David, were you bad?
Oh God, yes. I was bad.
It was fun though.
I have to admit, yes, it was. I have a lot of screenplays that I've written about my madness, actually.
Are those the ones that you couldn't admit to in real life that you actually did these things? So you wrote a screenplay about...
Oh, no, I fully admit to all of it. That's the whole thing. That if you don't admit to it, then, you know, for some reason, it kind of feels like it never happened. But when you admit to it, then, you know, now, I mean, if I had committed like a horrendous crime or something like that, I don't know if I would admit to that. But I was extremely... I got in trouble all the time when I was a kid.
Okay, you have to give us a scene. Like, we need a scene from a movie.
Okay. A scene from a movie. Oh, boy. Wow. This is really going deep. It's from a movie called Heroes and Heroin. Heroin spelled like the drug. I was, 15 years old. And I had started working for a group of people in Houston, Texas, that I probably should not have been working for. I wanted to be a big boy. I wanted to be a part of a group of people from school and outside of school. And so I did something that they asked, and I took something into my house that is of contraband. And I took it, and my father found me with it in my bedroom. And he drugged me by the back of my shirt to the bathroom in our hallway, where he proceeded to take the contraband, dump it in the toilet, and flushed it down the toilet when I was 15 years old. About 3 days later, I wound up taking one of the biggest beatings I have ever experienced in my life from the people that contraband belonged to. So that is a scene from Heroes and Heroin. terrifying, brutal. I just absolutely idiotic. Yeah, I did some really dumb, crazy, idiotic, insane stuff when I was a kid. And, you know, I'm a father three times over now. I have two stepkids and my biological daughter. And it freaks me out because my stepson is 15, my stepdaughter is 13, and my biological daughter is 8. And it has been very strange. If I had not had kids, I'm not sure, you know, if I didn't have what I have right now, I really don't know, you know. And
so now you're up imagining what they might be up to, like what they might be thinking about.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's one of those things where I pray that they stay away from the things that they need to stay away from, and they do. Our stepdaughter actually was born with 22q, which is a dilation of the 22nd chromosome. She was born with heart defects. She is at this point in her life at 13, had 5 open heart surgeries. At Christmas of 2017, she was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. So we have been dealing with so much over the last 3 years of our 6-year relationship my wife and I have, and we are creating a television series entitled The Normals, which is about our day-to-day life with her, what it's been like over our last 6 years together, and the fact that, you know, we've had several times to considerably have to prepare for what, you know, that she may not, you know, be here beyond the age of 13 or beyond the age of 14, because you never know what this world is going to hold. So, you know, as Jade says, we have to love ourselves. It is very important that you love yourself, because if you are not comfortable with yourself going through something like this, horrible, horrible things can happen.
Yes.
Drive a wedge between family members, and it can drive others to try to hurt themselves, you know, in a way that they may never come back. So we want to make sure that we love ourselves enough to know that as a person that we can handle anything that life is going to throw our way.
Yeah.
Just think of the gift that you're giving right now. You're giving that gift by sharing that story on film. You're sharing that so that others can understand more about what's going on in their life.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and I think
I believe that's a gift that you were here to actually share with the world. So embrace that. You know, to me, God never gives us anything that we really and truly can't handle. So know that you're strong. Know that you're strong enough to be able to handle it. God has given it to you.
I totally have to agree with everything that you just said there. I do agree with you 100% that God does not throw anything onto our plate that he does not think that we cannot handle at any given time in our lives. My wife and her kids were brought into my life at a specific time that I desperately, desperately needed it, because I had no idea that I was getting ready to go through a massive custody battle with my ex over my biological daughter. And they were there, and I'll be honest with you, if I didn't have my wife, if I didn't have my kids and stuff like that, I don't know what would have happened. I would have gone insane during that time period,
especially writing all of those books. So thank God you had your family there. It goes back to what Simone was saying earlier about the conversation he was having with his wife. It's so important to have people there to support you.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God, yes. There's that is very strong right there. Yeah, if we don't have that, you really don't. If you don't have family, there's really kind of nothing there, you know. I mean, it's just you by yourself, and you gotta have people there that you know love you, that you know care about you, and that you know depend on you. It's yes. Cool to have people to that depend on you. That's yes. You know, that's something
makes that makes you play a different game. Makes absolutely. You play a different game. It makes you step up. I find myself that I will do more for other people than I will do for myself.
And, do you do more for yourself, for other people? Because one of the things that started me on this journey and everything I've done, I always talk about the only reason I've done it is because I was a single mom and I wanted to be at home with my kids. I wanted to watch their first steps and their first words. And I also wanted them to see a mom who was successful. So I wanted to be the best version of myself.
For me, it's been more around actually, there were two factors. One, I wanted to prove something to myself that I could do, that I could make it. Mm-hmm. At school, I wasn't that gifted. It's not that I wasn't a gift, actually. It was pretty smart. It's just it was boring. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up doing other stuff and not going to school. Mm-hmm.
Out with David's crowd?
Not that far. Not that far. So let's say in
the middle.
In the middle. So I had my crowd, but I never had an experience like David had, fortunately.
Okay.
But on another side, is like you mentioned, like you're a single mom, and my parents split up when I was 14, mm-hmm. because my father was an alcoholic. And having seen what my mom, and fortunately right now is fine, like fully recovered, but my mom had to go through hell and back to raise me, that I was losing it. I was never home, and I was finding my escape somewhere else outside, not coming home. And then my little brother, that was 6 at the time. So our plate was full, and she always fought hard. No matter what I was putting her through, she was always by my side. Whenever she was going to the teacher's meeting at school, she was always coming back to me and then trying to get me through the year, trying to get me to attend a class. Like she never left or gave up on me. And so when then I reached, I think like it was at 18, then I left home. Mm-hmm. And when I reached, I think it was like 22, it was when I started my first business then. Mm-hmm. I then realized what my mom has done for me, that the fact that if I was able to have that career that I had in the catering industry, which was my first career, and then starting my business, it was because she believed in me every single time. Mm-hmm. And she was always in my corner. So I didn't want to let her down. And there is always this thing was like, I'm going to make you proud. I'm going to make you proud with what I'm going to do with the word. And she raised me with great values. of always doing good in the world and good for others. And I want to honor that. And so that's
beautiful. A big part of my why. I love the theme. I love the theme. Yeah. It's just like family. Brogan, who inspires you? Who's in your corner saying you can do it?
Well, lots of people. I come from a big family. So I'm the second oldest of four daughters.
Okay.
So there's a lot of us. And so both my parents very much made sure that we were very close. And so we kind of brought up in pairs and like stuff like that. And we always had a friend. And so I have all of them. And then I have both my mom and my dad who, I mean, don't understand what I do, but are very much like, okay, cool. Like, we're proud of you. We're very, as you said, like very much in my corner for doing things. I also was that kid that skipped class or did what I needed to do to get through school, but it wasn't like a priority to me.
This is like the bad kids show, like all the bad kids wound up on Friday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I don't know. I don't know how that worked out.
Yeah, I liked school. It was fine. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't the worst thing, but I never had a terrible time. But I also was just like, this isn't what I want to do. Because I was working as an actor when I was younger as well. So it was one of those things I was like, I would rather be doing those things. And my mom and my dad were both very supportive of me doing that. Even if they were like, they didn't understand, I'm sure they would have preferred I go to university and get a sensible degree and have like a stable job. But at the same time, like, they've been very supportive, and I left home at 18 and moved across the world. And like,
everybody's leaving home at 18. I'm starting to see little patterns here on this show. Jade?
I was 17 when I left.
Oh, wow.
I don't even know what to say. It's Friday. I'm just, you know, like, I wish I was the principal right now. I think all of you would be in trouble.
You know, believe it or not, that is one thing I never did, is I never did.
Wow.
I always followed the rules that someone put in front of me, but then I also added extra rules. So that was how the badness came out of me. It was like, if you said I had to do that, I did that, but then I also added all this other stuff in there. Yeah. And that's what got me into trouble. It was all that extra stuff I added.
Yeah. You talk about your low self-esteem as a child and how you thought you were bad. What were some of the things that you did to get past that point and, you know, and stop listening to the devil on that shoulder and listen to the angel?
You know, believe it or not, it took me a long time, because in my day and age, they didn't have the stuff that they have out now for kids and for people. You know, you couldn't, the books, there wasn't all these self-help books. At least I was unaware, and I come from a very, very small town in Pennsylvania. So it wasn't like even in a big city where you have so much more at your disposal. But I remember I was like 16, I think, and I read a book called Psycho-Cybernetics. And for the first time in my life, I actually read words that went on in my head, because, you know, kids, and I'm sure the panel will even agree, that kids think that what's going on inside their head is just them. Nobody else feels that way, or nobody else is experiencing what we are inside. We're all alone in this. And when I saw those words that matched what I was saying in here, it was like, wow. Maybe there is hope. And it actually started my healing. But it took a long time. You know, that's one of the reasons I wrote my book. It's one of the reasons that I'm the coach that I am today, because I don't want people to have to wait until they're my age to be able to heal themselves. You know, everyone here on the panel is quite young. I'm going to be 75 in a couple months. So thank you. But, you know, well, again, it's all mine. So when she was talking about how young, you know, she looks, I actually looked older. And then because I kept telling myself I was 29, I actually stayed young. Mm-hmm. And it helps as you're getting older. So be excited about looking young now. because it'll help later. But I don't want people to have to wait until they're old to be able to love who they are and to experience what excitement and joy there is in the world and really owning who they are. So, sorry.
Sorry for what?
That's a lot there.
That's what we do here at the Roundtable Talk Show. We just, it just comes out. Memories from third grade all of a sudden just come out. That's what we do. Simone, talk to us. You talked about your mom. You talked about becoming an entrepreneur and starting your first business. What happened at that point? Was it remotely successful? Did it take off? Or did you have a lot of learning experiences till you finally said, okay, this is what I need to do?
Hell no.
I knew the answer, man. I just thought I'd ask you.
Learning experience is an understatement. So I have this personality where I can be stubborn to the detriment of like almost going towards insanity, because I always had this desire to prove that I could do it. Mm-hmm. And in particular, at the beginning, I had it even more. I had to prove the word. Then I realized, what do I have to prove? I mean, it's nothing to prove at the end of the day, but that's another story. And when I was so engrossed in it that even if I wasn't making any money, because I quit my job in the catering industry, as any good Italian would do, right? Italian moved to London. What do? Work as a waiter in a restaurant. And then
you are funny. I like you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My wife doesn't think the same, but hey.
She had you, or she wouldn't have married you.
No, that's true. That's true. That's true. I sometimes I think that she regrets the choice, but I've managed to keep her in. So
keep telling her one day, babe. One day I'm gonna give you the world. Just one day.
One day. Yeah, one day. So the what happened is that I became homeless after about 6 months, and but it was like I consciously made myself homeless to make my business work, which logically doesn't make sense. But in my mind at that time, I was like, no, going back to a job is a failure. So I'd rather build my business, and I had a netbook. I found a place where I could like hack some internet connection and start building it from there. And after 4 months of sleeping on the street during winter time, then I kind of woke up and say, what are you doing? Just like, go back, get a job. You had a good career in the catering industry, because I started working when I was 14. So by the age of 19, I was managing already Michelin star restaurants. So I could go in, had like a $5,000, or like $5,000 a year salary at the age of 19. So I could go back and have a great life, but it was just this drive. And so definitely didn't work, and I had to go through a lot of learning experiences, and then just took it slowly. So, okay, let me work, have a part-time job, and there is nothing wrong with that while I'm building my business. And I think it took me about 2 years to be able to the point where I could, that my event company was then at least big enough to cover my salary. And as a salary, I mean food and rent. That's a salary. And I had a bicycle, so I was fine. I needed to spend a lot in public transport. And then built it from there, where now we have four companies in our group. But at the beginning, it was a lot of learning experience. And I think they are important, because I wouldn't be where I am without the lessons that I had in that moment.
Absolutely. Well said, Brogan. What are some of the lessons you learned to get to you where you are today?
Well, you know, I'm still learning them.
I think we all are, though.
Yes.
I started a business thinking it would be the easiest thing in the world, because it'll work, you know, worst comes to worst, it fails. I think that luckily I was in the industry that I was working in. So I was like, I knew I'd been a part of productions before. And so when I was starting to think about doing producing and building my own business in that way, there was a lot of things of like, okay, I know what works and I know what doesn't work. But then actually doing it, I have learned that I know nothing about business, which makes sense because I'm an actor and I was never taught it. So I've done a lot of Googling. Google is my friend. That's a lot of the lessons I've learned. yeah, I think that taking it slow worked better. I put a lot of expectations on myself right off the bat. And then when things worked, it then meant that I had to like up it the next time. And then it built this expectation in my head that, oh my gosh, what happens when it does all fall apart? Because it's not like an if, it's like at some point it will all fall apart. That's how especially film and TV and theater go. You're just going to have one project that doesn't sell, doesn't get through festivals, doesn't have tickets sold to things, and it's just waiting for that to happen. We've been very lucky, but I've also been very scrappy with how I've done things. I kept a part-time job for till coronavirus. So I had a lot of that was paying my rent and my bills. I was working the minimum amount of hours I would need to cover all of that, of like my half of everything. And then I was doing acting, and then like in my like the vague hours in between having it, it's like three full-time jobs at that point. Because you're like working a survival job to make sure you're paying rent and bills and like actually being able to live. And then I have like acting, and that's like my career in that. And then also having sitting at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to build a website. Was a fun time, but I've learned a lot. Like I learned like that outsourcing is amazing and you need people in your corner, because you do feel very alone, especially if you're sitting there at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning being like, I don't know how to do this and I don't know if I'm doing it right. But having people, like finding a community in that sense of people who are entrepreneurs, or even if they're in a completely different industry, there's still something you can learn from every other person's industry of how they do things. And I just go off the fact that I hope that I'm charming enough when things go wrong that like I can talk myself to the point where someone like is like, okay, how can I help? It's a lot of asking people questions and not being afraid to ask people questions. I don't know things, no one knows everything. I think that was my big one, is I was scared to sound like I didn't know something was going on, particularly probably partly because I'm so young. So I felt like I had to prove more than I really did. But yeah, it's worked. I think like—
It's definitely working. Yes. Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite things that I live by, I probably shouldn't, but I do, is Dolly Parton said that, you know, Dolly Parton's blonde, her persona, she said, most people underestimate her. And by the time they figured out how intelligent she is, she's gotten her deal, gotten her money and gone, you know. And I kind of do that sometimes, do that whole blonde thing, because people, they always talk to you and tell you information, and then you get that information and like, oh, she's just a girl. She's not going to do anything with it. She doesn't know enough to do anything with it. And then they look up and you done build a whole empire with the information you got from them. So I totally understand. Just keep asking questions. That's why my whole thing is ask Sharifa. I ask the experts. I don't know. That's why I'm like, David, so how you do that? Because I want to learn how to do it. So when Brogan asked me how to do it, I could tell her what David said.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah. I think there's a huge thing in sharing information as well, and not being so like, this is only my information and I can't let anyone else know because they're my competition. Like, I feel like I prefer a lot more of like an open communication, because we all get better if we all know the information versus hiding it and being like, oh, it's an exclusive thing that is like just up here and elusive, like gatekeeping in that way.
Yes.
David. No, Logan, if I might share, you know, so many people, even in my profession as a coach, there are thousands of coaches out there. People look at it as competing against each other. And believe it or not, the people that are supposed to be connected with you or watch your shows or watch David's shows or connect with Simone, they are going to find you. It doesn't matter if 10 other people are doing exactly the same thing as you. Because in my belief system, out there, there's a message that people need to hear, and the only one they can hear it from is you. So all the things efforts that you're doing out there and the ways that you're helping people, the right people are going to hear it because God is going to move them in that direction. So there is no competition. And if we all would stop looking at things as being competitive with the next person and just do our thing and love what we do, you would be surprised the results that you would get.
I have a question now. Like, is there a space for competition?
I think, well,
Yeah. I mean, I think competition, any type of competition is healthy, but at some point it gets to the point where it can be dangerous and it can be detrimental to a project that someone is working on, you know? And I mean, I see all sides of it. I see all sides of it. You know what I mean? And you know, for so long, Hollywood has tried to, you know, they have this select group. Okay. And we can be talking about all entertainment industry, but let's just focus on Hollywood for just one second. That Hollywood since the early 90s, you see about the same 25, 30 people in movies, like 90% of the time. Okay. And now you get those few that get to break in here and there, but you know, more times than not, It is such a staved off and closed off group that trying to break in anywhere in that industry is nearly impossible.
Yeah.
It's difficult beyond all belief.
No, absolutely. And I think that's a big one is that, I mean, I'm trying to do things in incremental goals so that I don't like get myself too big. And I do believe that competition is healthy in the sense of that's a fun thing. It's like a game. You know what I mean? You want to win. I strongly believe in everyone copywriting their work because you should have that. That is your work, especially if something's in development. There are people I know who've had their scripts taken and like because it wasn't copyrighted, they have not a leg to stand on their idea and their story. And so that's really hard. I think that, and like, especially if you're developing like something brand new, then absolutely it should be like yours. I think for me, it's a lot more, as you said, like it is such a closed off industry in a way that it's trying to like reinvent it or take some of the power away from those 20 to 50 people who are from producers, directors, everything into people who are low to middle career in that beginning and actually giving them a chance to do it and actually like earn a living.
Yes. I think the beauty of it is that technology, we're in an age where anybody can create whatever it is that they want to create. And so that's why I always say, I believe it's a beautiful time to be alive because there was so much technology. Now we could have never done, you can do a whole film pretty much on an iPhone these days, you know, so nobody cannot tell you and then upload it to Amazon Prime or YouTube or whatever and monetize it. And before we were never able to do that. Jade, I would love your thoughts on Simone's question.
Well, you know, to me, when I compete and it's always with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, I just try to be a better me. Mm-hmm. And the more I try to be the better me, then the better I get. And that's the energy and the vibration that I give out. I'm all about energy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what our universe is actually made of, is energy. But as we improve us, the things around us improve. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree. I always talk about one of the things, another thing that I live by, I have all these weird quotes and things that changed my life. But when I was in high school, I ran cross country and we would go to the hills of Griffith Park and run. And our coach would always say the same thing every day. And it's another way I learned how to say the same thing every day. I give the same pre-show spiel every day. But he would say to us, we would take the bus from school. And he would say, you're not in competition with anyone else. The only person you are in competition with is yourself. But the bus leaves at 3. That was his line. He would always say the bus leaves at 3. So I always keep in that in my mind these days. Like I'm not worried about my competition. I'm not worried about who's doing this or who's doing marketing or whatever. I'm worried about or focused on being the best me that I can be. And if I'm the best me that I can be, it should improve everything overall, because we had a really kick-ass team. You know, we all pushed ourselves. So what are your thoughts, Simone? We answered your question. What are your views? What do you think?
Like I asked the question because I'm incredibly competitive and I am incredibly externally motivated as well. So a lot of time I actually found the motivation to be to make myself better by looking at others. And like I, for example, like I play sport. I love sports, and like I'm like 1 meter and a coffee cup tall. So I'm not, I'm not at all, but I play professional basket in the second division in the National League here in the UK. And how like my drive is to be better than the person next to me because they got my spot on the team. If I'm looking at speaking at that event, I do a lot of speaking, my drive is to be better than that speaker so I can get that spot. And so I found that that in that way, it pushes me to be better. So it's not done in a toxic way where I have to put, you know, so there are some people that they want to put other people down and say, no, I'm better than you. It's like, I want to be better than you. I'm not going to tell you. And I let my work show up for it. And I found that that for me is what has pushed me. I always have a goal, and generally is a bar that someone else has set. And I found it easier to achieve because if I have to wait for myself to set that bar, I'll probably still be in restaurants. So yeah, that's why I asked that question.
Yeah,
very, very interesting.
Well, I agree, you know, that you need to look and be inspired by other people. And that's actually what you're saying is you see someone that's better, so you strive to be better, but you're really in competition with yourself to become better.
I'm also in competition with them.
You like to be in competition with them. Some people just like to be in competition.
I just love it. I'm going to kick your ass.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. Some people, it's nothing wrong with a little healthy competition. Yeah. I like it. See, so once you get on the top, see, that's how you help other people. Because right now I'm trying to figure out how to get a story written about me in the talk show in Forbes and the Huntington Post and Entrepreneur Magazine and all these other magazines. See, so when you're the best you could be, you can help all of us rise. Now,
absolutely.
Yes. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Brogan.
I guess I want everyone to know that it's okay that like you don't know everything, and like you can be in competition, you can ask the questions, and that's all good, and that's how you get better. And how you reflect on what you've done in the past and how you improve for the future. And you can do whatever you want. Like ultimately, at a certain point, you can figure it out, and it's just a puzzle to play. So, yeah.
So thank you. Where can we find more information on you?
Yeah, so you can find all the information about my company, which is Elemental Woman Productions. So we have our website, which is www.elementalwomanproductions, which is plural.com. And then we're the same, we're just Elemental Woman Productions on Instagram, and on Facebook and Twitter, we are Elemental Woman. Yeah, so that's where you can find out about us and see what we're doing. We have a newsletter, we have all those things. So yeah.
You have a podcast too, correct?
We do. So we have a podcast. It's called Unusual Women. We've done the first season and we're working on the second now, that highlights women from the past that were overlooked for their achievements. So we do things from every different, from international to different industries. And we also have a blog that does the same thing, but for women of today. So we feature a lot of people in like feature interviews as well, and the cool things that they're doing in the world.
Okay, so when is Sharifa Hardy's interview coming out?
Jude, I will message you.
This is how I get all my great interviews. People like, you're always everywhere. I'm like, because I ask. I'm like, because
I ask on the spot on my live show, so they can't say no anyway. So you have social pressure.
Yes,
because I can ask too.
I know. See.
Yeah, I love it. I like reading people's interviews or like finding out what people say. There's silly questions. They're like, there's deep questions. There's like, what favorite color are you? If you were an animal, what would you be? There's some silly ones mixed in as well. I just think they're fun.
It sounds fun. It sounds fun. David, what do you have for us?
All I would like to say is don't let your past keep you down. Is that if you have a dream, follow it, make sure that you make it come true, because I'm not going to stop until I get there with my books, with my screenplays, with my teleplays, and with a couple of playwrights that I've actually done as well too. So, you know, don't let anything keep you down. Don't let people tell you no. Don't let people say you can't do something. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. And you can find more information about me at www.elyria.com. That's E-L-Y-R-I-A.com. And you can check me out at davidcorey@gmail.com. Hit me up. Send me some emails. Let me know what's going on. If you're... Hold on. What was that? Amazon. You can find the book on Amazon.
Is that the missus? Can we say hi to Mrs. Corey?
Yes, say hi to her. Yeah.
She was like, baby, make sure the book sell. Let them know it's on Amazon because we need this money right now.
Yeah, it's on Amazon.com. So hit up Amazon and buy a million copies, please.
A million. That's right. That's right. Yes. Jay, what do you have for us?
So today, start just taking a little bit of time and make a list of all of the things that you love about you. And to me, when you're starting to feel down, when you're starting to feel like you can't do something or you're not good enough to do something, sit down and read your list of all of the good things about you, because it helps to remind us who we are. Even if you go around and ask other people, what is your impression of me? What do you think? One word, and write those down, because that helps us to get a better handle on who we are. So for me, the best way to find me, and I'm always ready and willing to help anyone, I am a mentor to a lot of people, is at www.jadeelizabeth.com. Or even my email, it's very easy. It's jade@jadeelizabeth.com. Facebook is Jade Elizabeth Coaching. So,
yes.
God bless everyone. And thank you for allowing us to be here in this discussion today.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining me. I love it when you're here. It was kind of, you reminded me of that post that I made on Facebook, because I always say it's not who you know, but who's willing to admit that they know you. And then I said, I want to know who would say they know Sharifa Hardy. And then all of a sudden people will say, I would say this about you. I would say that about you. And it was a wonderful experience to hear people say, if someone asked me if I know Sharifa Hardy, I would say, yes, she's this person. And it felt good. I love your comments. Thank you. Jade said, she's my friend. I like that. Simone, take us out.
Well, I want to wrap up with a thought on visibility. Because I think it's important that we play at the best of our abilities, that we follow our dreams, we create the projects, and we become the best that we can be. But at the same time, if no one knows who we are, and no one knows the great work that we can do, then a lot of the talent then is not seen and is wasted. So I think that we have a duty to become the best that we can be, and also to be seen as well. And that's something I'm really passionate about. And that's what helped me build the companies I've built, is because more people were able to see me. It's not because I'm better than all of others, or I'm smarter than all of others. So I think that for everyone who's listening, take care of the fact that it's important for you to be seen, and you have a duty to be seen and heard. And that's what I that I would love to share. So if you want to get in touch with me, you need help as well with your visibility strategy, then you can find me on my website, which is Simone, Simonev.co.co. And then there are free trainings on how to get featured on Forbes, major publications, or build your profile in particular. So check it out, Simonev.co.co.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to check out SimoneV.co to find out how I can get featured on Forbes.
Thank you very much.
SimoneV.co. I like that ring to it. Okay. I know how I'm going to get featured. Simone going to be like, you know what? I met this wonderful lady today, and I just have to tell you all about her. This has been an excellent show, amazing show. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Maybe you didn't catch the live show. We still appreciate your support. We appreciate you tuning in, and we especially appreciate you sharing this show. Whether you're watching it 2 days from now, 5 days from now, or 8 months from now, it doesn't matter. Please go ahead and share this show with your friends and with your network, because we have shared so much information we know that they'll enjoy. But again, don't just watch the show or share the show. Please support our guests. Pick up a copy of their books, their links, their websites are in the Facebook post. Follow them on social media, send them a message. And when you send them that message, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to the 2-day teleconference for the new year, new you, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.
Bye.